Welcome to the Birmingham Vineyard podcast. We hope you find it insightful and encouraging.
If you want to find out more about us, why not check out our website, birminghamvineyard.com.
So this morning we are continuing our disciple series, which is a kind of, I guess it's like the backdrop to the Christian faith. So it's Sunday services running alongside small groups. And so we've been talking about what truth is and who Jesus is and what he's done for us. But today I'm going to be talking about some things that might get in the way of us following Jesus. So just so you know, I'm a site pastor here along with Jeff. That just means if you have any problems, you can come and see Jeff. Okay? No, I'm teasing. I love you guys, and it's a real privilege to serve here, so welcome. Okay, so I don't know where you're at with Jesus. For some of us, my guess is that we're just starting out. Maybe we're just getting to know him, investigating this whole weird thing. Maybe you've been following him for years. But I think what he wants to do today is to invite all of us into what he's already done for us, but also to go a little bit deeper with him and maybe challenge us a little bit to live differently. Okay, so church is supposed to be a safe space, where that's okay. So right off the bat, I'd love you to know that as we talk about things that get in the way of our discipleship or stuff we might get wrong, I'm not here and none of us are here, like the front row thing, is not because we're special or because we've got it sorted, okay? That's not where we come from. We all come knowing that we really need Jesus and that we're all trying to follow him together, okay? So let's read our text for today and then I'll pray and we'll get started. I'm going to read from Romans 8 and a little bit from Romans 12. Could you change slides for me, Ben? Thank you. Turning it on might have helped, to be fair. Let's see if that works later. Okay. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And then Romans 12, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and to approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. Dear Jesus, we invite you again to be present with us as we walk through this today. First, would you reveal who you are and what you've done for us? God, we can't come to changing ourselves without you, without your help, without your guidance, and without your love for us. Would you reveal the battle that we're facing, but God, also what you're inviting us into and the power you've made available to us? We don't want to be slaves, God, to our own desires. We don't want to be cookie cutter objects that have been formed by the world around us. God, we want to be free people, loving you and loving each other and living a life that you've called us into. And we trust you, Jesus, as we let go of who we've been, that we'll discover more and more of the identity you want to give us. And God, that we won't do that alone, we'll do it together and we'll do it with you. Amen. Okay. So we're going to start today by looking at what Jesus has done for us. And then two things. Oh, look at that. That does work. That's exciting. Okay. Sorry, for the podcast, I'm playing with my clicker. I probably shouldn't do that. So we're going to look at what Jesus has done for us, and then we're going to look at two things that might draw us away from Jesus. One is called the flesh, and one is called the world. Now, obviously, you might know both those words. They're used a little bit differently in this context. The flesh is kind of anything that's an influence within us. So it's not just about our bodies. Sometimes I think we can get a little bit hung up on that. It's actually about anything that comes kind of from within us that feels natural, but also isn't really who we want to be. I don't know if you get this. Sometimes you want to do something, like you really want to do it, but you know it's not really who you are, and so you kind of end up with this sort of wrestle. That's what we mean by the flesh. And then the world, another way to translate that is like the system. So the kind of system around us, the culture around us that we live in that influences us. Okay. So we'll look at both of those, and we'll also look at some ways that we can combat the influence of both those things, and hopefully we'll end where we start, which is with the work of Jesus and the person of the Holy Spirit. Okay? Awesome. So that very first line in Romans 8 is one of my all-time favourite bits of the Bible. In fact, this is the Bible I first had when I first became a Christian, and that page fell out several times and had to be taped back in. It's not because I'm super holy, it's just because I kept forgetting. I needed to keep reading it again and again and again. Now, therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It's an incredible statement. But it's also, actually, when you think about it, incredibly offensive, isn't it? It's possibly the most controversial concept in the whole Bible, in our time, but actually all the time, that you might actually be wrong. Because the flip side of that statement, that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, is that that is if you're not, right? And that's really uncomfortable. I've been a Christian about 14 years now, and I still find it quite uncomfortable when God says to me, this thing that you do, or this thing that you hold so dearly, I don't like it. That's really difficult. And it's not actually just some stuff that we might do, but actually these things that we love that maybe stick quite close to the core of our being. I don't know if you've heard this before. I think it's a J. John quote. The heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart, right? The reason that I don't do, the biggest thing that stops me following Jesus or even just being a nice person or the person I want to be, my biggest problem is me. That's my biggest problem, not anyone else around me, not the stuff I watch on Netflix or the choices other people make. It's my greed and my anger and my jealousy and my desire for the wrong thing. In the words of Tom York, you do it to yourself, you do, and that's what really hurts. I nearly sang it, I decided not to after practicing it last night. My neighbours are so nice. We look around the world and we see all these horrendous problems, and we would love God to solve them. Even before I was a Christian, I was really like, I wrestled with this idea of God, because there's so much horrible stuff that happens in the world. How can this happen? How could he let this happen? The problem is that, if I'm honest, the jealousy and the greed and the selfishness and the dishonesty and the discontent that cause those problems, they come from my heart as well. It's just people being people, isn't it, at the end of the day? The wonderful news of the Bible is that God's making a new world, a world where none of that will exist. No jealousy, no violence, no greed, no oppression. The scary bit of the Bible is, if that's true, I can't go. I can't be there, because as soon as I did that, I wouldn't be able to be in it, would I? Elon Musk wants us to go live on Mars, and Mars will be perfect and wonderful and greed-free until the first person stands on it, and then it will change, right? Sorry, it's going to get better, okay? You're all like, this is very dark. It's all right, it's okay. Gets dark, gets brighter. It's fine. Like the Bible. If I want God to make the world new, then I have to be prepared for him to change me too. Right? Okay. And actually, that's what verses 1 to 4 in Romans 8, they talk about this. That God's rules, the first part of the Bible where there's stories and instructions and kind of illustrations given to help us understand what God wants, they help us know who he is, but they don't actually help us be better. And that's not because they're wrong. That's just because laws don't really help us be better, do they? We need someone to come and help us change. So imagine that. Here we are. You're on death row. And let's say you deserve to be there, for the sake of argument. You live in a good country. There's a positive government. Okay, but you've done really terrible things. You've been part of the whole horrible system, and actually you've been sentenced to die because of it. And actually, like most of these places, you've been in prison for decades. It's kind of part of who you are. You're used to that system, the way that people interact with each other. You're used to your space being extremely small and the way things work, okay? But then one day, actually on the way to your execution, you're walking down the corridor, and someone else suddenly comes in from the side through another door from... And the guards, for no apparent reason, take the cuffs off you, and they put them on this other guy. And this guy walks into the execution instead of you. And one of the guards is left behind, just opens the door and says, out you go. And you walk out into the sunshine, into the light and the wind that you haven't felt for years. And just as the guard goes to close the door, she gives you a pardon. You look at it, and everything you've ever done is completely sorted and completely forgiven. It doesn't sit on you anymore. You've got no criminal record. Suddenly, you're free, genuinely and completely free. And that's exactly what Jesus has done for us. Before we did anything right or wrong, before we did anything that would get us closer to him, before we made any good moral choices, Jesus died for us, okay? Unless you were alive 2,500 years ago, Jesus died for you before you were born, okay? Good with that? Good. Okay. So what do you do with that then? You're outside this prison. It's the only life you've known for ages. You really deserve to be there, but you're sorted and it's done and you're pardoned. What do you do? Can anyone guess? Quick trivia question. Can anyone guess what percentage of prisoners in the UK reoffend after they're released? 62, okay. Any advance on 62? 70? 75. Well done, new person in the back. Excellent. This is Liz, everyone. Sorry for embarrassing you. Very good at trivia. Well done. 75%. 39% do so within the first 12 months of leaving. Why? Well, it's actually because prison kind of doesn't work, does it, as a corrective. It's a punishment. It's a way to keep other people safe from each other. But it doesn't actually correct. Just like the law in our passage, it's ineffective when it comes to changing people. It's a punishment. But actually, the person's attitude, their behaviour, the way they think about things, the environment they find themselves in, maybe the community, the family they've got to go back to, the poverty they experience, others' expectations, their own expectations, maybe a whole web of those things. Actually, unless some of that changes, all that's going to happen is then the cycle's going to repeat itself. And actually, if you've never known to live a different way, the outside world can be really scary, really difficult to be part of, right? And it's exactly the same for Christians. If you decide to follow Jesus, you'll notice that some things change quite quickly. I stopped smoking and broke up with my boyfriend really quite quickly after, like, not you have to break up with your boyfriend, he just wasn't very nice. really quickly after becoming a Christian. But some things I've been trying to sort for 14 years and they're not quite there, do you know what I mean? Other things are harder. Now, the wonderful thing is, according to the Bible, God never starts with, well, I want to love you and set you free. And he comes to meet you in the prison and he says, if you meet these conditions, then I'll consider letting you go. That's not what he does. He loves you unconditionally. He dies for you. He sets you free before you decide any of those other things. We heard that in week 2 with Jeff talking about the new identity. If you weren't here, do have a listen on the podcast. If you're in Christ, you're a new creation. You're free from that law of sin and death. And the principle that you've done wrong things, want wrong things, and you're the product of a wrong, oppressive culture, and so therefore you will one day die like the culture does, that doesn't apply to you anymore. There's no condemnation for you. But the invitation is that now you're free, go live like it. And that will require some work. So that's what we're going to look at for the rest of our session. So we'll look at chapter 8, verse 5 to 9. Those who live according to the flesh, so according to those desires that they always kind of innately have from before they were a Christian, they have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but in the realm of the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. Okay, so Paul, elsewhere, Paul, the guy who wrote this letter, unpacks that there are kind of three types of people in his thinking. One is like a natural person, so that's just a translation of the Greek. So before Jesus, you never met Jesus, you didn't know about this, you haven't like trusted him to set you free, and so you're just kind of living like what comes naturally to you. And then there's spiritual people, people who try the best that they can to live according to the Spirit. And then there's people who are sort of described as fleshly, so loved by Jesus, set free by Jesus, but kind of still doing their own thing. So the first question is probably, do you know Jesus or not? Is that something that you've decided for yourself? Because you could, I mean, I guess in our illustration, you could run to the execution chamber and say, no, please, please take me instead. You kind of have to trust Jesus and you have to trust the freedom that he's given you. But if you have accepted Jesus, then you have a few different choices about how you live. In fact, I guess you have choices every single day. So I was at a conference this week with someone who's really, really good at drawing circles on their PowerPoints. I am not that, so I apologise for the terrible arrows. If someone's got that gift, just let me know, okay? Next time you can help. okay. So this is kind of what it can look like, isn't it? We get to choose whether it's a little choice or a big choice. We choose, am I going to do what kind of comes naturally to me? Am I going to do what I might have done before as a Christian? Or am I going to choose Jesus? So at the city centre site this morning, my friend Tony is preaching. He's going to talk about porn and his struggle with that. If that's you, I would listen to his preach. That's not my story. My worst thing that I do is that I stay angry with people. That my choice when someone upsets me is usually to go, great, now I've got a reason to feel justified and self-righteous and take revenge and think about it all the time. And when you do that, you choose, don't you? You say, this is the way I'm going to go. And you start to think about it. And then you act out of that, like you do little things. Like for me, I get a bit grumpy with somebody, or I try and put them down without other people knowing about it, my lovely passive-aggressive British way. I try to hurt them a little bit, like they hurt me, and try to make it really clear that while I am the better person, of course, they are also wrong. Terrible, isn't it? But then actually, you become like that. So when it says that the woes who live by the flesh have death and those who live by the Spirit have life and peace, what happens in that moment is that my relationship with that person starts to die. Actually, my relationship with other people might start to die too, because you can't have that mindset and act that way and keep other people close to you. Even if you don't mean to, you're starting to push them apart. It'll certainly rob you of your joy and of your ability to forgive and to forgive yourself, actually. And in the end, that can get really ingrained. You can kind of be trapped by it. So when it says that you cannot submit to God. Actually, that's because it's become an ingrained pattern. It's kind of become something of who you are. And we can't change. And we really struggle to love this person now. And we really struggle to love those around us now and to change how we behave. And that works whether your thing is being jealous or angry, whether it's a sexual desire for the wrong person, whether it's greed for wealth or a desire for power or recognition. They all work in pretty much the same way. They all take us in the same way. We think about it, we do it once, we think about it, starts to affect our thinking and become part of our identity. And ultimately, we can't help doing it. All these things are kind of addictive at some level, aren't they? It's really important to note that the desire is not a sin. Okay, people can get this a bit mixed up, like something pops into your head or you have this, I could act this way. That's not a sin, okay? The Bible says in Hebrews, Jesus was tempted in every way, just like we are, but without sin. So whatever it is that just popped into your head of like, oh, I get tempted by that, and oh, I sometimes do that wrong, Jesus knows exactly where you're coming from, okay? This is not his judgment on us. The law of the Spirit is this, that you are free and you are washed and you are loved and that you have the power with God's help, with the Spirit's help, to break this cycle and become who you are in God. You can change the way you act and the way you think, and you can change what you're becoming and stop being trapped by it. There's a little path through grass. So I don't know if you've been up to the new Sainsbury's. I love, it's one of those places where like it's all lovely, beautifully landscaped, and there are paths to follow, and arrows saying go this way, and those little like lines on the car park that say you walk this way. Does anyone walk that way? No. Like there are paths all over the gardens, all over the, like people just wander across the car park because people just go the way they want to go. And you can see the paths that people often take because they get worn away. And our minds are a bit like this too, aren't they? We get used to certain patterns of thought. The more we follow the same path, the more ingrained it gets, and the more difficult it is to change our way of thinking or behaviour. That phrase, stuck in a rut, like you made the rut, didn't you? Like you walked on it until you got stuck. Sorry, I'm going dark again. Okay, it will get better, promise. This is actually even true at the neurochemical level. Your brain develops physical connections inside itself, which then, as you think the same way each time, they strengthen, and it's much easier to think that way and more difficult to think differently. Oh, yeah, there we go. Great. Circles again. You can set your mind, you can choose to be different. You can choose to set your mind on Jesus, and slowly you can think about when the thoughts or desires come, which isn't the sin, you can decide what you do with them. It's our choices far more than our abilities or our desires that make us who we are. That's Dumbledore, not the Bible, just in case you're looking it up. It's truth, bit of truth in everything, guys. It's all good. Now, that's not to say that you can overcome massive mental health issues or other things. You might need some help. Okay, this isn't something that God's asking you to do all by yourself, and if you can't do it, then you've got a problem. We're all in this together. Okay, but how do we know what desires are us and what are God's? That's quite difficult, isn't it? What's from inside us? What's from outside us? What's the spirit? What's us? How do we know? Well, this brings our topic from the flesh to the wider one of the world. Okay, here's Romans 12 again. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay. There is a worldview, isn't there? All around us, all the time. Whatever we watch, whatever we listen to, whoever we talk to, wherever we go, there's a way of thinking and a way of being that has the potential to influence us. And actually, it's really hard to see through it. You're not even aware that you have the glasses on sometimes. We were watching Star Trek last night and realising that it's okay to say things on TV 30 years ago that it's not okay to say anymore. It's okay to... Anyway. And that CGI has come a really long way is the other thing. It's a bit like wearing coloured glasses. Tim Keller has this illustration of a young man in the middle of a city. Now, he's got a weapon in his pocket. He wants to pick a fight. He's quite violent. He's also sexually attracted to men and would really like a boyfriend. Now, one of those things will be celebrated and one will be punished, depending on whether he was on Broad Street yesterday or whether it was 400 years ago. Okay? Culture changes. The way that we see things change. Now, I'm not saying there's no truth and nothing good in our culture, because that wouldn't be honest, would it? People aren't just negative desires, they're not just prisoners, they're also beautiful image bearers of God. They're also created by a God who loves them. And sometimes I think that's something that we need to tell the world because it forgot that, actually. It forgot the value of people, and that's part of what we need to tell them with the gospel. There are wonderful, beautiful truths in so much of art and literature and films and science that we see around us, but there's also a lot of rubbish because the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. Do we get truth from the TV we watch? Not from Star Trek, definitely. Do we get truth from the podcasts we listen to, the adverts that we see? Some yes, and some not. And often in the same program, some of the yes and some of the no, right? If we're not careful, we can be influenced unthinkingly by things, and we can slowly erode the identity we might have in Jesus and take away some of our power to live by the Spirit. So I've got three small children. You can tell when they've watched a new show because they find a new show that they like and they'll watch a couple of episodes and they'll kind of watch the same show for a couple of weeks. And they'll end up talking like the lead character. Yesterday, one of my kids said, "Yeah, that's my jam." And I'm like, "Where did that come from?" It's come from a show. Now, that's just a small thing, isn't it? But it can happen in lots of different ways. I've got lots of friends... who are absolutely wonderful friends, but have a tendency to talk critically about their partners or their work colleagues. There are movies in which the end is this unattainable, perfect relationship where two pristinely beautiful people walk off into the sunset together, and we really hope the film doesn't carry on because that's not going to last. Sorry, guys. It is good, it's just not perfect, you know what I mean? There are films and movies that make it really hard to think about intimacy that wouldn't be casual sex. There are parties where the expectation is to drink too much and behave badly. Now, what I'm not saying is that we should hide ourselves away and be really fearful and never watch Netflix and never go out, never talk to anyone who's not a Christian, and just go la 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 la, waiting for Jesus to come back, okay? Jesus didn't watch Netflix, obviously. But he did go to parties. And he did drink, and he did like food, and he did have lots of friends who didn't agree with him. That is okay. In fact, I think that's part of our calling. In John 17, Jesus says that we're to be in the world, but not of it, because he's sending us into the world, not because we're supposed to live in a box waiting for the end, okay? We don't need to be scared, but we do need to take the glasses off. I can still see you. Some of you were quite concerned then. It's very sweet. We need to take the glasses off. We need to be able to think critically and actually take the Spirit of God and take what we know of Jesus into every situation that we're in and filter it. What is this telling me that's true? What's wonderful and beautiful and God image that I can take from this situation? And what is it that I need to stand against? And actually, that's when we can help our friends as well, isn't it? That's when we can speak some truth to those people that are around us. So our options, according to Romans, are that we get to be conformed or be transformed. It's my favourite jelly mould I found. Exciting. Now, I don't know if you like the idea of being conformed. It doesn't sound very nice to me. It doesn't sound like being forced into a pot and made into a mould or cut out with a cookie cutter. That doesn't sound like I'm going to be a free, happy individual, does it? I'm going to be a fat little jelly baby with no feet. I don't think the podcast is going to understand what I'm doing. Anyway, that's fine. Notice that don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that what we don't have is God saying, either conform to the world or conform to me. So God's not like, I have set you free from this jelly mold, come be in my jelly mold instead. That's not what's happening. It's an invitation to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, okay? By thinking about the things of the Spirit, by choosing his way every point that we can, and by taking the word of God seriously, by inviting him into whatever situation we're in. One thing I love about getting to stand in the front of you guys is that I get to look at you all and all your wonderful faces and all your different jobs and different experiences and different ideas and the different things you dress in and the music that you like and the stuff that you share. Like, you're all quite different, actually, and that's wonderful because God isn't calling us to be cookie cutter people. God is calling us to be people who journey towards him together. Amen? And this is what Paul means. He says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your true worship. Worship isn't songs on a Sunday. It's not Bible reading. It's not like any one thing that we do. It's living our whole lives, giving up all of our desires and all the natural stuff that we have and laying it down before God and saying, what would you like me to do with this? It's a call to not be acceptable to the world all the time. It's a call to challenge ourselves regularly. A call to be acceptable to God, to be what Jesus was, to be radically and painfully loving, to be outspoken, actually when it matters, to do our best to be well-disciplined with our approach to those desires, which are good, and desires for food and comfort and sex and relationships and recognition and power, they're not wrong. The desire for love is not wrong. It's just that God has a better plan for fulfilling it than you can think of for yourself. And what the world wants to offer you is a cheap version. So you get to choose whether you get the cheap version or whether you get Jesus. And honestly, sometimes it is really difficult, isn't it? The world doesn't like us. The world will hate us for it sometimes. You might get into difficult conversations with friends or break up with your not very nice ex-boyfriend. But take heart, Jesus says, I've conquered the world. I wanted to have some time to pray. And as I was thinking about this talk, it could land quite heavily, can't it? You could say, well, what do we need to do then? Well, church today was all about not being like the world and not doing what I want. And I feel a bit rubbish and it was quite heavy. And now I need to go and be a better person. Like, maybe we do, but at the same time, we started with the freedom of Jesus. And we do it by the power of the Spirit. And that's really where we want to start, and that's the only place that we need to keep coming back to. We can't do this on our own. That's why the world hasn't. We haven't created a world where everything is free and wonderful and everything is fair and everyone is loved and everyone is safe because we can't do that on our own. But God is really up for helping us do it. Amen. God's inviting us on a journey of transformation. He's inviting us to make new paths. And he's not saying this is done all in a day. With the be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the sense is that this is the start of a journey. This is something that's going to keep on happening through your life, and God's going to walk that with you. And actually, as I was praying for this, I felt like, It's probably another odd thing that I do. When I'm going to preach, I think about who's going to be in the room and who's here and how can I pray for these people and what does God want to say? And honestly, what I felt God wanted to say more than anything today was, well done. Well done to so many of you. Like, you try, and not everyone sees, and your friends don't always like it, but you try. And God sees it, and he loves you. I felt like more than anything, like, you, there might be some things that have been stirring. There might be a couple convictions in you right now that you think, oh, actually, I know I need to change that. Do you know, it's a very small thing compared to how hard you work for Jesus. And he loves you so much. And I feel like that's actually the, in a minute, we'll can kind of move into a time where we can respond and we can pray for each other. I felt more than anything, God wants to start for each of us with encouragement. With the fact that he loved you and he saved you because he chose you. Jesus wants us to have the freedom to choose. It might be that you haven't chosen to follow him before. It might be this is really new. That's his invitation for you today. Not to start being morally better because the Christians told me I should. Okay. That's awful. Like, that's just such a difficult thing to live out. But because Jesus wants to love you. Okay. I think I'm done. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit to come. He's here anyway. That's a funny thing that we say sometimes. What we mean is, let's stop talking and listen. So let's stop talking and listen.
We hope you enjoyed the talk and found it helpful.
Why not come along and visit us? We gather at 3 services across 2 sites on a Sunday and meet during the week in small groups across the city. More information on both of these can be found on our website.
Thanks for listening, and God bless.